Definitely a starter's my hero.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, y'all know I like to have a party, and it's Thirsty Thursday. It's football season. Every Thursday we have a party. Every Friday we have a party. Let's be honest.
Party.
You damn right we do, Dusty. You know us. You know how we roll. Crystal Espinosa, I believe, was her name. Crystal, you left. You never leave the party early. See, this is exactly why I was always a guy that never left until the lights came on or until they kicked me out, because you never know what's going to happen, Ron. Crystal, you had a chance to win $25. Whatever you had to go do, I hope it was worth $25, because you missed out on a $25 gift card.
I bet it was.
Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you hanging. Sorry that you missed out. But we already gave away the two Bud Light gift cards, $25 gift cards, so we gave $50 away already. Coming up next in the 5 o'clock hour, the Bud Light Texans tickets. Not just the tickets to the game. That's the Bears-Texans game, by the way, this Sunday night, prime time. Not only the tickets, but also two bracelets that get you into the official Bud Light tailgate.
Hey.
And look, now there's no doubt about it that tailgating in Houston is big time, right? Texans tailgating is big time. In fact, two of the traveling Texans just showed up. They're ready to party.
There they are.
But now you add prime time to that. You add a later kickoff, an evening kickoff to that, so you got a little more time to party. I can only imagine the Bud Light tailgate party is going to be off the charts. So not only tickets, but two bracelets to get to that tailgate party that's going on. And then, Ron, when are we doing the Titus Howard helmet?
4 o'clock, this hour, coming up in this hour, your chance to win that Titus Howard.
In this hour, and I believe that is that's the blue helmet, isn't it? That's the blue helmet with Titus Howard's signature on it. So we'll give those away, 4 o'clock hour, tickets in the 5 o'clock hour. There you go. Also, Titus Howard joined us at 2:15, so if you're listening via the Odyssey app, we greatly appreciate it. There's a little rewind feature on that app. You can rewind back to 2:15. Titus was great. He really is a great interview. Good time to have him on after what the offensive line did last week. If you're not listening via the Odyssey app, we ask that you download it. It's AUDACY, the Odyssey app. Download it. Take us with you wherever you go with that app. All right, this is a game, Ron, for me it's a tough one to put to bed. When you win a ball game on the road against what I think is the biggest threat in the division, you score 29 points in doing so, and you don't do it on the shoulders of C.J. Stroud, which last year, let's be honest, you weren't winning a ball game unless C.J. Stroud was Superman. And
felt like it.
To come out and win that game in itself is huge, but to win that game on the backs of the offensive line and ultimately Joe Mixon, one of your offseason acquisitions, that is big time. I can't put it to bed. I talked a lot about Kenyon Green, and rightfully so, Ron. I finished that film last night, and Kenyon Green, four quarters of football. There were a couple of times where, you know, I don't know if Juice was supposed to help or Laramie came off too early. There was a couple of probably negatives in there, but overall, the guy was absolutely tremendous. After hearing, I think it was Nick Caserio on Texans All Access.
Yes.
I don't know if that was Tuesday
that
night
was
or
last
Wednesday night.
Night.
Was it last night? Okay.
Yeah, last night.
Well, yes! There you go. I'm listening to him, and the first thing he didn't talk about the line. He didn't talk about Kenyon Green. The first thing he did was tip his cap to the wide receivers and the tight ends, and I thought, let me check into that.
And that is interesting when you think about especially wide receivers, because Clint, he didn't have a run over 13 yards.
Yeah, well,
so generally when you think about wide receivers, big blocks, you think about down the field.
Yeah. Well, that is exactly what makes Joe Mixon's day even more impressive, is that there was no 159 yards and there was no 70-yard run in there, right? So, I mean, that's what makes it impressive, partly why it's so impressive. But let me get to who I need to tip my cap to next. That's them tight ends and them wide receivers that Nick Caserio was talking about. I'm going to tell you, I gave them hell last year. I gave them hell last year when they appeared to be soft, when they didn't want to stick their head in there, when they didn't bring that juice that you just got to bring if you're going to run the football the way that Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans want to run the football. And I gave them hell last year, so I got to give them credit where credit's due this year. There is no doubt about it. There is no doubt about it that specifically Nico Collins, the wide receiver position, he's built to do it. He can help this team in a big, big way run blocking. And then when you look at Dalton Schultz and Brevin Jordan, in particular on the touchdown run by Joe Mixon in the fourth quarter, I believe it was. Those two guys on the edge. Now, Dalton just kind of did good enough, just kind of got in the way and did good enough, which is all I need from him. I don't need him being the most physical guy on the field. Brevin Jordan put his face mask in the chin of a defender and ran his feet in a beautiful manner.
He was much more physical. Yeah. There were multiple guys, and Brevin Jordan fits right in that category that made you do a double take on their physicality. And we talked to Titus earlier. It made a lot of sense when he said the big thing that changed was their mentality and their physicality. Brevin Jordan, that wasn't him. Like, I don't even know if you could even put him in the game. We talked about, like, Brevin Jordan goes in the game, you're scared that you're telegraphing what you're going to do because you're not really running the ball in there. You could run the ball with that dude last week.
Yeah, well, with so much running the ball outside the way that they did, you knew that the guys on the edges were blocking well, but I just didn't – I didn't know how well. I didn't watch it in the lens of let me watch Dalton Schultz in particular. Let me watch Brevin Jordan in particular. But there are moments in that ball game where – when you bump it up against what they were doing last year, it's night and day. It's 180. And I do want to point out that I think that was the best part of the interview with Titus Howard. Again, Titus Howard was on with us at 2:15. If you're on that Odyssey app, use that rewind feature. It was good stuff. So Titus talked about Kenyon Green being the tone setter, about Kenyon Green being the guy that really set the tone with the aggressive the aggressiveness and the physicality, right? And I mean, what a tip of the cap to Kenyon first and foremost, but it was blatantly obvious that has gone throughout this offensive unit, that when one guy like that, I'll add Juice Scruggs in there too, by the way, and Shaq Mason.
But when the interior three set the tone.
Yeah, I think Shaq's always played with that. I just, you know, Shaq is just He's doing more with less. You got two dudes in Juice and Kenyon who are first and second round draft picks that just are blessed with more and you know, have a higher ceiling. Those guys putting that physicality on film is huge, man. It's contagious. And what happens now is you don't allow these other guys to get away with being soft ultimately. Right, and look, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just using a descriptive term. Like, in right now, if you're a Houston Texan and you're going to put on film that you're going to shy away from contact or you're not going to be physical, it's going to be frowned upon, and rightfully so, in meetings, because you've got three interior guys that are flat out setting the tone.
Yeah, and right, and you know this. You just can't, in any line of anything you're doing, you just can't help it. Like, you don't want to be the one that looks completely off, you know, out of balance with everybody else. And it's just automatically going to have you take it up a notch. And it's crazy because two of the leaders and the highest paid players are the guys that you're talking about that maybe follow the lead.
Yeah. Well, hell, one of them told us he did.
Yeah.
I mean, one of them just sat there and told us that he did. So, yeah, look, I just think it's another reason why, to me, it's so convincing. Like, it wasn't just a running back. Like last year, even when Devin Singletary would have a good game, it's like, man, you know, that's not going to carry. That's not going to carry over against a good run team. Like, what we watched from the interior guys setting the tone to the overall production to all five guys working so well together to the running back doing his thing, that's going to travel. I'm not saying it's going to show up for 17 games through 18 weeks, but it's going to travel for the majority of these games. It's going to be That I really,
they run out of the way they did.
I firmly believe that's part of their identity, and it shows up on the film. The big eye in the sky does not lie. One more thing on this film, but I want to talk about it in a sense of the Bears, right? Because that's obviously who's up next. There's one thing that when we were coming into this game, I'm sorry, into this season with the Texans, is we were concerned with the interior defensive line. Let me say me just to keep it about me. Not throw anybody else under the bus. I'm concerned
I was too.
I'm concerned about the interior defensive line. And when you watch the Colts film, there's no doubt about it that Shane Steichen is going to be disappointed that they didn't stick to running the football downhill with Jonathan Taylor, particularly in the first half. The second half, the scenario and the situation kind of got away from them, and it dictated what they needed to do. But there were times in the first half where first down, second down, they're throwing the football, trying to throw the football from the pocket instead of doing what it is they do best. When they ran the ball in the first quarter of that football game, they were getting big-time push inside. They were getting exactly what they wanted inside. And so much so that I believe the Bears are going to watch that, Ron, and the Bears are going to do their damnedest with Swift. Swift's a good running back. I really like him. He's a really good running back. And they've got a young quarterback that they got to protect. And that young quarterback might be missing one, maybe two, of his top targets. I got to believe they're going to run the football downhill, and they're going to try to exploit that interior inside of the Texans defense.
Well, the thing is, they damn sure did do it last week, and their center got his ass kicked repeatedly for the Bears. They weren't able to do it last week. Now, Jeffrey Simmons and Sweat's first game, but that's Sweat's just a huge looking like Ted Washington or somebody like that coming through. Those are two big boys in the middle who are tough to deal with, and I don't think the Texans have that, but the Texans did pretty good with the attempts they had. Now, I do agree with you. I think maybe the game dictated it. I think the amount of time that the Texans had the ball helped dictate it, and they didn't run and they didn't run the ball as much. I do agree that he wishes he could have, and there was something there as they were running in between the tackles and between the guards. But I don't know if the Bears have the personnel like the Colts do. When you talk about Quentin Nelson is one of those interior guys.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Taylor is a more powerful back.
Agreed.
Than Swift. Now, not to say if you look on film and say, well, maybe that's where we try it. And an unsung hero also, Henry Toa was really good in that game as well, getting outside and stopping things in the hole there. But I don't know if they have the personnel that they can match up with what the Colts potentially were able to do, not to mention you know, Richardson that you always have to watch.
Well, that's the big if here was that more about how good the Colts offensive line was, or was that an issue for the Texans? I think that's really the way that's where I'm at after 1 week. But I saw some commentary about, well, that defensive line held up all right. Well, I don't know if we don't go back and watch that film if there's still not question marks inside for me. The one dude that stood out is Will Anderson, without a doubt. But the otherwise, against the run, there's some question marks inside. The other one, Ron, and you mentioned this. We actually discussed it yesterday. I went back and watched the big plays that I told you I wasn't worried about. The big plays that the Colts gave up. I mean, I'm sorry, that the Texans gave up to the Colts. I'm a little concerned. I'm gonna be honest with you. The only reason I'm not shook is because Kalen Bullock is over there. But I don't know how they end up keeping Kalen Bullock off the field if Jimmy Ward's gonna make the kind of mistakes that he made Sunday.
Yeah. I'm trying to look at it and say this is one game. And we at least have a history with Derek Stingley to believe, all right, yes, he's had some injuries, but we've seen Derek Stingley, you know, for 10-plus games in the National Football League. He is not someone that just gets beat like that. I'll give him an off day Lassiter, I don't know. We don't know as much about him.
Well, but the corner
but
stuff.
But Jimmy
is,
Ward.
The corner stuff is totally different, and I'll explain. Like, when you're a corner, whether it's middle field closed zone or middle field closed man, like, you're on an island. And like, you can explain Derek's thing. Derek's only just tried to undercut a route that wasn't ever there. He just tried to anticipate something. Bad decision, right? That could have got you beat. And then you look at Kamari. He tried to jump a double. He got double moved. It happens every day.
Yep.
I'm not overly worried about that. When you look at what Jimmy Ward did, it was quarters coverage, and he got Alec Pierce ran over the top of him, right? Okay. The next one, Ron, the one that I told you he was in position, just had to make the play, that was cover two. There's no reason to get ran. And if Anthony Richardson would have threw that ball about 10 yards further, which we obviously know he could have, that would have been a touchdown. And D'Amico would have been irate on the sideline. And guess what? We saw D'Amico Ryans bring Jalen Petrie and have him standing next to him for a good chunk of the second half of the season last year simply for that. Not being where he's supposed to be in a zone coverage and getting beat deep against, I believe it was Cleveland, wasn't it?
Was it Cleveland? Yep.
Again, the film just can bring a little more evidence to the table, and it wouldn't shock me if D'Amico Ryans doesn't.
That's clearly got to be a focus.
Well, Kalen Bullock had already played over 50% of the snaps, but it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play more. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play more because you just simply can't. You can't get ran by in cover two, man.
No, you can't.
You can't get ran by in quarters coverage. If he throws it 68, I'll cut you a little slack. You can't get ran by in cover two.
Well, I mean, that's –
and he got flat ran by. You're up 10 points. You're playing cover two. And he ran flat by him, and it would have been a touchdown, like a walk-in touchdown, if the ball wouldn't have been underthrown. D'Amico Ryans has not shown much patience when that's the case.
That's 5-6 big plays, that three of them in which they did make, and two others that really they should have made. They just couldn't connect with Richardson and the receiver.
Right.
That's far too many. That's far too many that could have been. And like you said, that could have been the game. It should have been the game.
Yeah.
And you just can't have that happen. And you got to believe that's got to be the focus. That's all we heard D'Amico saying after the game and through the week, that they have to focus on that. But the Jimmy Ward thing, that, like him, he's the one that needs to watch.
Yep.
He's the one that needs to be concerned, because they clearly have somebody there. And as I said yesterday, you look and see what happened in those situations, it is hard not to look at Kalen Bullock's size and his skill set to think that he wouldn't have been able to play those passes better than he did.
Well, the dig route that popped out the back door for a touchdown as well, that Eric Murray appeared to be out of position on that one. So you've got like the safety position really hurt you on Sunday, and you know, on the TV copy you look at, you're like, man, guys were there to make plays. They just didn't make the play. Like, even on the dig route that popped out the back door, Azeez Al-Shaair is this far from or was it Bullock? Somebody underneath was that far from tipping that ball down. Well, they didn't get it done. So, but you watch the big copy, the safety that should have been just that, the safety to make that tackle was completely out of position. So the runner ends up scoring instead of getting a big game.
Didn't happen. All right, coming up, we'll keep you updated as the Astros got another W today. We'll give you the latest that we're hearing. As important as this win was, Jose Altuve, he did not play today, left the game early yesterday. We'll give you the latest on that as we continue. Live right here on The Drive.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. As we are here at Buffalo Wild Wings here in the Katy location, come out, have a good time, hang out with us. And I'm telling you right now, if you're on your way, we are hooking somebody up as soon as this segment ends. As soon as this segment ends, we're hooking somebody up with that autographed Titus Howard signed football helmet. And it is a game-size helmet. I don't think it's game-used. I don't think Titus wore it. But it is a game-size helmet, not a small one. A nice, solid blue helmet signed by Titus Howard, who we had on earlier today. So, get in here. You got about, I don't know, 12, 15 minutes before that is raffled off. All you got to do is sign your name, put it in the box there, and you'll have a chance to win that helmet coming up here in just a minute. All right, Clint, I have not heard this. I've refused to read anything. Tyler just said Joe Espada spoke about Altuve in the postgame.
Again?
So hold on, remind me, Tyler. What did he say the last time? What did he say before the game? He said it.
Yeah, let's see. Yesterday, Wednesday before the Astros game, we heard from Espada. He told us, hey, we got an X-ray, you know, going on, and we don't see a fracture or anything. And then ended up being a fracture,
that's
right?
Chaz McCormick.
Yes, and then Chaz McCormick. And then we hear about Altuve from, as you would say, Captain Joe Espada. He says, you know, we got an X-ray, didn't see anything, I think you should be good. And then post-game, 6 hours later, Espada says, oh, actually, you know, we need to get more imaging done.
All right, so this
is...
We got more imaging done. So this is Joe Espada, the absolute latest after the game, on the heart and soul of this team, Jose Altuve.
Sigue día a día. Fuimos y sacamos placa nuevamente. Y no hay nada que no... He was asking about Altuve, so we went and got some images more done here. And it looks... Things look okay. Nothing that I can report here, you know, that I can tell you that I'm worried about this being more than just a day-to-day thing. So we were able to answer those questions like during the game.
For a second there, I thought it was going to go all Spanish there.
Y'all's faces when he started speaking Espanol was great.
Great there, but yeah. Now he puts in. I don't know if there's anything serious right now. I don't feel just. Why can't we just say, hey, man, we still got some imaging, still things we need to look at, and we'll keep you up. We don't have an update right now, but he's still just getting it checked out.
Well, I think
why do you have to go into detail?
I understood that as there was more imaging done. They found out mid-game that there's nothing that'll be anything more than day-to-day.
Is that what you
yeah,
said?
Yeah, I believe that's what he was communicating overall.
It's
that's
unbelievable
right.
Is that what you got?
But, I mean, the Astros aren't great communicators, so maybe he wasn't saying that. I don't know.
I'm over the whole Astros communicating injuries, whatever, man. I mean, it's clear that it's a mess. But his inability to just communicate a message is unbelievable. Like, to the point where you almost just don't talk about him. Just say no comment.
No,
I'm trying to do the best I can.
Just say, hey, man, day by day. Day to day. That's where he is right now. Day to day. Like, I don't know if he's confident that there is no fracture or anything. I don't know. I think he is. I'm not sure, but there's
a... The
well, again, I think it's no shock that Bregman... announced his own injuries.
Yeah, he won his own injuries, and Lance does his own things. For me, I still can't get off last night. I just still can't get off last night whose decision it was to say, hey, man, stay in this game, man, and stay in this game and bunt.
What is
stay in
going
this game
on?
And bunt with two strikes. Stay in here. If bunt, like, if there was any thought, like, just pull him out and let him and not, like, they could have, there could have been a potential of him injuring this thing even worse last night, but I guess from what we're getting from Joe Espada, if we can make it out, is they looked at more imaging, nothing further, nothing serious, or as he said, nothing right now that he should worry about, and it should be day-to-day.
It should be day-to-day, man. We're ready to rock and roll with Altuve. It should be day-to-day.
There it is. Jose Altuve.
Hopefully we don't day-to-day. Have to talk about it anymore.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not. I'm not sure about that. We'll see. Hopefully not. Hopefully he doesn't have to go on the IL. Like right now, You feel like these are the moments right now where I'm thinking, like, generally I want to rule out, no, he won't go on the IL. But I can't. I cannot rule that out because it seems like things can completely change in hours, in a 24-hour period with the situation.
I don't believe I'd be ruling things out. That's for damn sure.
No, I wouldn't. If someone text in, maybe take it as the deal of Altuve getting rest before the playoffs isn't the worst thing in the world. Maybe so.
I mean,
they said they were.
I hate to break it. I mean, I'd rest him as little as possible. He's one of three players that's OPS is what, over 700, and he's played over a certain percentage of the games, and he's hitting 300. He's one of three players on the team. I think I'd keep him rolling if I could, but whatever.
Whatever. We'll see. Well, I think that was good news. I think that was good news on Jose Altuve. I think I'll just believe it when we see him play at second base again. The other injury guy that we looked at, Kyle Tucker, he should play in the outfield coming up in this series against Anaheim. So that should open up some things for this team. But the Astros avoid the sweep, and it appears from the manager they've avoided any kind of major injury when it comes to Jose Altuve. All right, we're about to hook somebody up with this Titus Howard helmet as soon as we get through here. Coming up, big game tonight between two teams that the Texans play. Which matchup do you think is going to be the more difficult one when the Texans play? The Bills or the Dolphins? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, congratulations to our winner, Alex. Alex is on fire, baby. Shout out to Alex, baby.
Nico has got him on fire, baby.
Oh, I mean, he was. He would have been Alex. Tyler and Alex would have had. Tyler and Alex would have chest bumped by the end of this. I think Alex would have got Tyler going, and Tyler would have got going, and Tyler would have bought Alex a shot.
Of course.
And then Alex would have sold him cybersecurity stuff, and I mean it would have been
a buttery nipple.
He would have had him going, man. Congratulations, and we've had a good time here. Final winner. We see people signing up right now and getting their names in this raffle as we are live here at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Katy, the Park Row Drive location. Park Row Drive location here in Katy. Come on out, hang out with us. And our final prize we're giving is the big one, Clint. It is a pair of tickets for Sunday night's game, the first primetime game in 2 years right here in NRG against the Bears. A pair of tickets Sunday, and it comes with what, Clint?
The bracelets.
The Bud Light. The Bud Light bracelets.
Tailgate. For
you. Tailgate, free food. Drinks.
All you do is you know, they put them little bracelets on, like when they ID you at the concert or at the bar. You're 21. Little tailgate, little Bud Light tailgate bracelets, and this is a primetime game. It's a late game, so you can go ahead and take whatever tailgate experience you have, typically on a noon game or a 3 o'clock game, and go ahead and boost it up a bit. Now it's a primetime game. You got a couple extra hours to party and get ready and. Make some bad decisions if you so choose.
Why not, man? And they're gonna hook you up. So Bud Light is holding it down for everybody. Come on out. The Bud Light girls are here. They're doing a great job as well. And you can come out, get your little compliments. Thank you. A little complimentary Bud Light and a little drink if you want. Come on out. There's still plenty of room. And as I said here, man, you just watch. A lot of people just watch the Astros defeat the A's here. A little day baseball and. As we're here till 6, after 6, big game tonight. Big game in the AFC. Two teams that the Texans will play in the AFC, the Dolphins and the Bills, coming up. By the way, do you feel like these are two teams that are on the same level of the Texans? Do you feel like this is the Bills and the Dolphins, the matchup tonight? As I said, they both play the Texans this year. Do you get the sense that these three teams are on the same level?
I mean, no, I don't. I mean, after last week with the Texans, if you'd asked me that before last week, I'd have said yes.
You think there's a separation now?
And, in fact, I had the Bills ahead of the Texans. I would put the Texans – look, I think right now I got the 49ers at one. It's all based on what I saw. Now, I didn't watch every game. But I got the 49ers at one. Obviously, the Chiefs and the Ravens are in that category. I got the Texans right there, neck and neck with the Ravens. I got them right there. They're in the thick of things, so they're in my top five. I'd put the Bills up there. I can't quite get there with the Dolphins yet. Explosive as ever, but like you said, the big game, they just have a tough time getting over the hump.
If you as we sit here and we'll be talking about both of these games, the Bills are a little closer. Earlier on the schedule, and then the Dolphins are in the back half with that gauntlet when they play the Dolphins at home and the Ravens and the Chiefs, those three in a row. When you look at this, Which team for you, and you can jump in on this text line, those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, which team for you do you think would be the tougher matchup for the Texans?
The Bills.
The Bills. Oh, easy. The Bills.
Yeah, I just think the Bills are going to run the football. They're going to have a chance to attack what I think is the weak spot on this defense.
Because the Dolphins were running outside.
The Dolphins are. I mean, they're that fast break offense, and they've got a ton of talent. No doubt about it. But you know, they got a quarterback that's not going to move. You know, athletically as some of these other guys, definitely not as Josh Allen, which is going to play into our pass rush. You know, that I trust D'Amico Ryans against a pocket passing type quarterback. I really feel good about D'Amico Ryans. I feel good about our personnel in that situation. The downhill attack that the Bills seem to have gone to midseason last year, and they're definitely off to a quick start here. I think that spells trouble for really a lot of defenses, but the Texans are in that mix.
Yeah, I would have said the Bills too, and I think I still lean towards the Bills. Those big plays made me a little nervous, though.
Yeah.
The down, like, and if that continues, if we see that as, boy, they have trouble getting beat deep. Like, because I'm thinking, if Alex Pierce is going to get behind you,
yeah,
then Tyreek Hill and Jaden and Waddle will also crush you, right? But because before I'm thinking, all right, you got Stingley, you got pretty good guys in the secondary that – nobody's stopping Tyreek or stopping this offense, you know, especially in controlled weather, but you can slow him down enough. And I definitely think the Texans can score on the Dolphins defense. It's just if the big play thing becomes a problem, that kind of changes the thought. But I'm generally with you because I think the Bills, first off, the Bills have Josh Allen, and Josh Allen can just a lot more than Tua can. He can just take over a game,
yep,
multiple different things. And just make plays where everything is right. I don't believe this is with Tua, where you do everything you want to and as a defense, kind of like they did with Anthony Richardson, and then still he can make a play and make a big play, and you're like, damn, like that's exactly what we wanted to do. But he is a lot more consistent at doing it than Anthony Richardson is. So I would say the Bills probably are the tougher matchup. But like I said, if we continue to see the next couple of weeks that this wasn't just a fluke, mm-hmm, of giving up big plays, that may become a different thing. Yeah, because the Dolphins, that's what they thrive on. You give up big plays, you turn around, man, and if you can't cover deep, if Jimmy Ward is having trouble. Like Tyreek Hill, as you say, is hitting his head on the goalpost.
Yeah, speed is scary, and there's no doubt about it. They've got a lot of it. But I tell you, man, that I'll stick to my guns. When you got a quarterback that can get involved in a run game, and it's more of a controlled power run game,
that probably gives D'Amico more problems.
The scary part, well, it plays to what I think is the weakness of the defense, which is the interior defensive line. And then what it does is you saw what Houston was able to do to the Indianapolis Colts and limit them to four plays in whatever 15 plus minute stretch of football. Like if you do that to the Texans, that's a recipe to beat these guys, right? It's truly your own. If you leave C.J. Stroud on the field, they're going to score points. And so, who can do that? A team that can chew the clock.
Yeah,
using their big-bodied quarterback in the run game.
Yeah, that
scares me more than the speed and more than the pocket passer, at least with the Dolphins anyway.
Yeah, and just there's just a thing with the Dolphins, man. They just don't beat good teams. They just struggle against good teams. All right, as we're live here, remember, 5 o'clock hour, our last prize that we're hooking somebody up with, and that is tickets to the Bears-Texans game Sunday night, as well as Bud Light is also hooking you up with some tailgating tickets as well, wristbands. So stay tuned for that. All right, Clint, you ready to I'm gonna give you this opportunity. You ready to change your tone a little bit? You had said you felt like the Cowboys were gonna be a dumpster fire. You felt like it was gonna fall apart big time for the Cowboys.
Glory hole.
No, I think it falls apart.
You still like after week one, they got everything done. They got CeeDee Lamb in. They got Dak in, you still think it's going to fall apart.
Yep.
Like when you say fall apart, like when I hear fall apart, I hear not making the playoffs, really struggling.
I think it's going to end up being more of the same.
They're
gonna
didn't know my schedule.
I mean, I don't think they're going to win four games, but at the end of the day, I think we're going to look at Dak Prescott as a regular season MVP, and if they get in the playoffs, they ain't going to win one. I think it's more the same. I think you look at Dak and Mike McCarthy, it's going to be more of I don't think the regular season is as good as most people think, but even if it is, they're not going to win in the playoffs.
So you watched them. I know Cleveland's dealing with some certain things, yeah. But they went in there and just kind of dominated that game, like from start to finish. Yeah. Obviously, Cleveland is struggling. I don't know, man. Like I'm with you. I can get with the thought of they're going to do what they do in the playoffs, but I mean. I would be surprised if they don't get there.
Look, I don't have a problem saying that. I think they'll miss the playoffs. I'm fair with
that. So you're still on that. You still believe that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't know. They got too much. They seem to have too much talent rolling through there. And to me, especially, I thought with everything swirling and going around there with all the drama that happened all the offseason, they roll out. Now I am very skeptical of their run game. Their run game and just the parts that they have there when they're leaning on Zeke and Dalvin Cook whenever he comes back. That's something that you look at because it does feel like Dak needs that to be a part of it. But I'd be surprised if they don't, like you like your schedule, I'd be surprised if they don't win, 10, 11, 12 games and win that and potentially win that division. So we'll see. So you still hanging in there?
Dumpster fire may be a bit strong, but I don't think it wouldn't surprise me if they miss the playoffs.
Damn, Jerry, and you love Jerry.
Love him.
You just falling apart. It was crazy how they came. They just came together with this thing, and they got everybody signed, and Jerry was just playing the drama card, and here we go, everybody's back.
They're lucky they caught Deshaun Watson in week one. Really don't know what they look like.
I was going to say any week.
Yeah, right.
Any week with Deshaun. You missed Deshaun earlier with his press conference. And they were asking him about the leadership, how that carries on and off the field. He told him, "When these guys, you ask any guys that are around me, they know me. They're around me. They know my aura." Yeah.
Wow. I'd probably ask him.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
Hey, Tyler, and he said aura just like, oh my God. Like that's just a normal thing to say.
Oh yeah, he's got a nice purple hue that surrounds his head. Get the hell out of here,
He said they know my aura, baby. Yeah, they got that. They got that. Yeah, it's okay. Mm. Your aura, whatever.
All right, DW4.
Whatever that is, man. Yeah, he is falling apart fast. All right, coming up, the Astros' huge win as they avoid the sweep. We'll let you know the latest on that as well. And Joe Espada gave the latest on Jose Altuve. We'll let you hear that as well as the injury report is out for both teams, the Bears and the Texans, of course. And there's one major name for the Texans that there could be some concern with. We'll let you hear all of that as we continue rolling live right here on The Drive.